We live in a society today that runs on debt. I think it's very interesting how we've come to this particular point in our scripture reading in the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, when Paul is talking about debt, when in fact in our government, our national government right now, the big debate is on whether to raise the debt limit and expand how much more we are allowed to borrow. We live in a society of debt. We're indebted to our credit cards, our credit card companies. We're in debt on our automobiles. We're in debt on our homes and educational loans. And it seems like it's just simply become the way to have tens of thousands of dollars of debt hanging over us all the time. But after a while, if we really look at the truth of what's going on, we're day in and day out just simply working so that we might pay off that debt. And sadly for many people, that'll never happen. They never will pay off the debt, but they continue to work. And it has become, or we have become, complacent in some situations over debt, like it's almost a necessity in life that we're in debt. Today Paul talks about debt to the believers in Rome in the 13th chapter. He talks about how part of the church is that it owes a debt, but it's not a financial debt. When you remember, Paul is talking in light of what he began all the way back in the beginning of chapter 12, urging the believers that in view of God's mercy to offer their bodies as living sacrifices to God. He continued by talking about the ways that we do that, not being conceited, being loving towards others, feeding our enemies, and also submitting to the authorities, because we have to understand that God is the ultimate authority. He continued by saying that we are to pay what is due. We're to give everyone what that we owe them. If we owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor. And now he transitions, because what he's saying is we have debt and we should pay our debt. We should not let our debts outstanding, because if we owe someone, we should pay them. Probably because what was going on at the time, many Christians who owed money, who had borrowed money, were saying, well, we don't have to pay that anymore. Our leader's Jesus Christ. So we're no longer in debt, and we're not responsible for the debt that we've incurred and those that we owe, having borrowed money from them. But Paul says, well, we have to pay what we owe. If it's revenue, if it's respect, if it's honor, then pay it. But he says, we're not to let any debt outstanding except one. And that one debt is the debt to love one another. Because he said, he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Now, many Christians will look at this passage and say that this is the biblical teaching that we as Christians are not supposed to borrow money. That's not true. Jesus talks about borrowing and paying back. But what this is talking about is not financial, it's spiritual. Because Paul is saying that we are to pay those back. We're not to let our debts outstanding. We are to be in good standing in our debts, paying what we owe. But there is one debt that always remains outstanding, and that is the debt up to God to love others. You know, we oftentimes say, I don't owe that person anything. I don't owe him anything. I don't owe her anything. Why should I do that for them? The reason is because we don't owe other people anything. We owe God everything. And God tells us that we are to be loving towards those people, towards our fellow man, towards everyone. And that's what Paul's talking about here. This is a debt that we can never repay to God, because when we look at God's mercy, in light of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, as Paul began this section in saying, when we look at how God has had mercy on us, we're indebted to God. We owe God a debt of gratitude. And the way that we make installments on that is by extending the love that God first showed us, the mercy that He first showed us, to others and loving others. He says it's important to be upstanding citizens, but it's also important to be good neighbors. making installments of love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. That word love that Paul uses there, and you folks know I love the Greek, because when I say, what's he talking about? What does it mean to love one another? That word is agapeo, which comes from agape. Agape is the love, the word for love in Greek that means an unconditional love. It describes the love that God has for us. It's unconditional agape. But agapeo means that we love in a social or moral sense, but it comes from the root word agape, which means a love or affection or a benevolence, or that we are inclined to do good. So what he is saying here is that we are to be inclined to do good always in the social or moral sense to everyone else around us. Our love is to be unconditional to everyone else around us in view of what God has done for us. And that we are constantly, always indebted to God. This is a never-ending debt. It's never paid up that we don't have to do it anymore. We always are responsible to make installments on that debt. Because he says, he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Because we know there were the Judaizers. It always went back to the law. Yes, but we have the law, and the law is what makes us righteous. This is what God requires of us, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, that we don't have any idols, we watch our words, we don't take the name of the Lord in vain, we honor our father and mother, and so on. What Paul is saying now is that honoring the law is loving your fellow man, because when you love them unconditionally, you will not break God's law. He goes on to say the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. He's referring back to the Levitical laws when God met Moses. Back in Leviticus chapter 19, and God said to Moses, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I declare this. Don't seek revenge. Don't hold a grudge. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, in fulfilling the law, we become self-righteous. If we look at it and say, all God requires of me is to fulfill the law, to live like the law says, not to break any of the commandments, then we are becoming self-righteous. We are living a self-righteous faith. It's about us. It's about our righteousness. But Paul says, you want to be righteous? You want to be in good standing? Love your neighbor. Be inclined to do good to them, to your neighbor. That's what puts you in good standing in the eyes of God. That's a fulfillment of the law. Because he says, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Love does no harm. This is a positive action. No harm. You have two negatives, no and harm. A negative and a negative makes what, students? A positive. Love does no harm, therefore love does good. It's non-injurious. And for those who are legalists, it fulfills the law, meaning it's the righteous and right thing to do. Now, we have to make one note here. This does not bring salvation. It does not mean that all I have to do in life is love my neighbor as myself, and I'll be saved and go to heaven. The Bible does not teach that. What it teaches us is that if we are truly living according to God's laws, we will love our neighbors as ourselves. But what happens, this love is lived down in the lives of believers because we're filled with the Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit, that helps us and sanctifies us to be able to love the teenage girl that's pregnant, to be able to love the young man who's always in trouble and out after dark doing harmful things, to love those people who say things to us to tear us down and insult us, to love that man that drives up and down the road with his horse and buggy and leaves deposits of exhaust all over the road in front of my house. You know, it's a challenge day in and day out but we're still to love because God says so. John Wesley, in his general rules, in the general rules of the United Methodist Church, is to do all the good you can and all the places you can to all the people you can in all the ways that you can and do no harm. That's the general rules of the United Methodist Church. When Jesus taught about this, what it meant to be a good neighbor, to love a neighbor, if we remember back in the 12th chapter of Matthew, one of the teachers of the law came to Jesus and heard the people debating. And he said to Jesus, of all the commandments, what's the most important? And Jesus said, well, the most important one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself, because there's no greater commandment than these. They bind together, they're bound together, you see. And this teacher of the law says to Jesus, well said, you're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. In other words, of all the sacrifices and all the offerings that a person can offer to God, what's more important is to be loving and not doing harm to a fellow man. In fact, Jesus said, you've answered wisely, and you're not far from the kingdom of God with an attitude like this. You see, the teacher of the law presented the question, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus gives an answer, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he sums it up by saying, this is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. Well, of course, the question comes up, who's our neighbor? What makes somebody a neighbor? We start to get technical. Is that person really my neighbor? They don't treat me well. Are they really my neighbor? And Jesus clears this up in the 10th chapter of Luke. For those of you who went to Vacation Bible School, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. We remember a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. While the priest came along, he passed by on the other side of the road. A Levite came along, he passed by on the other side, but a Samaritan, those disgusting, low-life Samaritans, a Samaritan traveled and came to where the man was. He saw the man, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn and took care of him, took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, you take care of this man. I'll be back and I'll pay you for any extra expense. Jesus said, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Well, the expert of the law replied, it's the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go and be a neighbor to someone else. You see, the neighbor is the one who has mercy. And we are commanded to be merciful of others. Well, gee, isn't that what Paul said in the 12th chapter? In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You see, it's all about mercy. And it's all about grace. Paul reminds the believers in Rome, and he reminds us today that we owe love to everyone. It's not only the right thing to do, but it's the law. And it's an installment that's due right now, immediately. It's urgent that we are about the business of paying our installments on the debt that we owe to God. In fact, Paul says, do this understanding the present time, because the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What he was saying to them is, it's time to get to work because Jesus is coming soon, now sooner than when we first believed. The King James Version says, it's high time. There's no time to waste. Night's over, day's here. It's time to get at this thing and get working at it. The night is nearly over, the day's almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, You see, we're to put off or put aside what's indecent and put on what's decent. He says, put aside the deeds of darkness. What are they? He names them as orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, and jealousy. The orgies being carousing, letting loose. Letting loose. Anything goes. Whatever feels good, do it. Unrestrained indulgence. And drunkenness, being intoxicated. Put these things off. Get rid of them. Throw them off. Cast them off. Sexual immorality. The King James Version calls it chambering. This was so interesting when I really dug to understand what Paul was talking about in sexual immorality. We are struggling with this today. What does the Bible mean by sexual immorality? The King James Version uses the word chambering, which in the Greek means couch or couching, of which on you sleep. And by extension, it means cohabitation involving the male sperm. In other words, what Paul was saying in sexual immorality is sex outside of marriage. Put these things off. Put off these things, these deeds of darkness, the debauchery, which is moral corruption, dissension, arguing, jealousy. These are no good, Paul's saying. It's time that we put all these things off and put them aside and start being proactive loving. Putting on Jesus Christ, he says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, not thinking about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Put on Jesus Christ, like putting on a play, acting out. We all have the part of Christ. Remember, the church today is the physical revelation of Jesus Christ and His love for the world. You and I are the physical revelation of Jesus to the world. And He says, put on Christ. Act out like we're putting on a play. Each one of us are little Christs. And what Paul is saying to the church, which is the church in Rome and you and I today, is it's time to quit acting like a bunch of pagans. Living the ways of the world and saying it's okay. He says, now is the time to wake up, clean up, and dress up. Because we have an obligation to Christ who first loved us. We owe Him a debt. And it's time that we wake up, clean our acts up, put on the armor of Christ, and be that physical revelation to the world. And as we do, the love of Christ radiates outward from the church and its people to all the people in the world with an agape, an unconditional affection, love, and inclination to do good to and for others. We don't wait for someone to knock on our door and say, I need help. We say, do you need help? What do you need? How can I help you? And I ask you this morning, do you know anyone who's been robbed? Like the man was, that fell into the hands of robbers. Do you know anybody that's been robbed? I do. I'll take you to any number of the nursing homes that I go to. Those people have been robbed of their dignity. They've been robbed of the freedom to just do whatever they want every day. Do you know anyone that might be feeling beaten down? Feeling like they're half dead? Lonely or feeling left out? Sit and spend a few moments with the youth and the children in our community right here in Elamsport proper. You know the man who fell into the hands of the robbers in Luke? Well, it would have been easy to just toss him some clothes or some money or toss him some bandages or some oil. But you see, the Samaritan got involved. He looked past every earthly stumbling block. He looked past skin color, race, gender, social class, and financial status. They didn't mean a thing. He saw a hurting human being that needed love and mercy. And he offered his body as a living sacrifice to that man that lay there, dying. Why? Because he had a debt that he owed. A debt of love in view of God's mercy to him. The question this morning is, are we as a church, or are we as individual Christians, deep in debt, or are we in good standing? Is our credit score low, or is our score high? How would our neighbors score us, if they were to score us? And how, most of all, most importantly, would Jesus Christ score us? Sometimes I think we need to remember Paul's advice. Our mission is urgent. It's time to wake up, clean up, and dress up and get going. Because we have an outstanding debt to love one another, and this pleases God. We cannot be complacent. We cannot fall asleep saying, I'm good to go. I'm just sitting here waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We have friends, we have family, we have neighbors, we have co-workers, we have teachers, we have students, we have church people that need to know Jesus Christ, that do not know Him now, that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, as I thought about Mary and her work in the hospital, laying in a hospital bed, I thought of Paul in prison, in chains, singing. And the jailer said, what must I do to be saved, when the earthquake came and the chains fell off? What must I do to be saved? Paul said, repent and believe. I thought of Mary, lying in a hospital bed, witnessing about the love of Jesus Christ, sharing her faith, sharing the mercy that Christ has for every human being. And Mary said to me, you know, I don't know whether it ever does any good or not. I said, Mary, that doesn't matter. It's all up to God. The results are up to God. What your challenge is, what He calls you to do, is open your mouth and get that fire started inside those people. And I said, you'd have no idea the fires that you've started by just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a great message we have to share with the whole world. There's one thing our world needs right now, it's love and it's mercy. And sometimes we just tend to get into our little box, think about our own selves and how good we are, what we've done for God, and what we're continuing to do for God. But Paul says, well, there's one debt that we always have and we always need to remember and keep in our minds. We are always indebted to God, because as He was first merciful to us, we're to be loving and merciful to others. That's our living sacrifice. That's holy and pleasing to God, more so than all of our burnt offerings, all of our sacrifices, our love to our fellow man. Let's pray. Lord our God, it is a great debt that we owe You. It's a debt that we can never fully pay back. Day by day, I pray You help us to be mindful of Your mercy on us first and foremost. That when we become impatient with the rest of the world, when we become angry with them, when we become complacent in our faith, when we become lazy Christians, whatever the need is in us, O God, give us the strength to reach out, to be the Good Samaritan, to be loving because love fulfills Your law, to be constantly making installments on that debt, because that is truly holy and pleasing in Your sight. It's not easy to do, and Your word doesn't tell us it is easy. But we know that if we try, Your Holy Spirit will guide us, will guard us, will empower us, and that we might teach others of Your great mercy that You first showed to us. We thank You, God, for Your mercy. In Christ's name, amen.